Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome back David Gervin, who's the Senior Associate Director of Admission at Pitzer College. Now, David was with us on episode 156, where we did a panel discussion with all the Claremont colleges. David, so great to have you back. How are you?
Doing well, John. Thanks to have me back.
Our pleasure. So, David, let's just start by asking you to give us a brief introduction about yourself. How long have you been in admissions, and how'd you end up in such a position?
Yeah, so I'm going into my 12th year in college admissions, which is crazy to think about. like, where did the time go? But I was a very involved student leader during my time. So I went to Stonehill College. So I'm originally from Massachusetts. So I grew up just south of Boston. Luckily, no accent, but all the impatient tendencies of a Bostonian, I promise you. But I think when it comes to my experience of higher education, I had such a transformative experience as a student that it's a very rewarding experience to give back and be able to find that right fit for students at Pitzer College, where I'm at right now. So I started at Stonehill, and then I worked at Brandeis University in Waltham, Massachusetts for 3 years, and then switched over to Northeastern University in Boston, where I also got my master's in higher education administration. And then was looking for a life change, and pandemic happened, right place, right time. Ended up in Claremont, California at Pitzer College. And I think what really drew me to Pitzer specifically, and what I love about working at Pitzer, is the unique aspects of everything that I found that I loved in my undergraduate liberal arts experience, I find, but then I'm envious of what the students get and how friendly the environment is, while also at the same time being a part of the Claremont Consortium, as we discussed in my past episode.
Well, that's terrific. And yes, episode 156 was a panel discussion with the Claremont Consortium. So, can you explain what it means for Pitzer College to be part of the Claremont Colleges, and how does this affiliation enhance the academic and social experience for your students?
So the Claremont Consortium is the only intentionally designed college consortium in the U.S. I know there are other consortiums. What the impetus of what really created for the Claremont Consortium was Pomona was the first of the Claremont Consortiums and very much focused on that liberal arts education. And then at a time in higher education nationally, when particularly in California, with the population boom and many colleges became large behemoths that you might associate with California higher education. But Pomona wanted to still continue that liberal arts education focus. So the goal was to create a consortium to add a new institution to that consortium, one every decade for the next 100 years. We didn't fully get there. The Great Depression might have been a factor, a few other things. But we do have 5 undergraduate schools and 2 graduate schools within the consortium. Pitzer is the youngest of the undergraduate schools. So I like to think we're the best looking as the youngest. As the youngest of 3, that's my joke. But I think when it comes to Pitzer as an institution within the consortium, I find that we're really true to the values that were a part of the time that we were founded. So we were founded in the 1960s, really at the height of civil rights movement, the Chicanx movement in California, hippie culture. So we are a very social justice driven institution. And that is kind of the identity, not only for us within the consortium, but also across liberal arts nationally. And I think what really enhances the experience of the Claremont Consortium, I always like to start off, we are 1 square mile. So from the edge of Pitzer to the edge of Pomona, it is a roughly 20-minute walk in sunny Southern California, where it's 350 perfect weather days throughout the year. Being from Massachusetts, the weather never gets old for me. But I think when it comes to that is intentional. So we share courses and curriculum. We share clubs and organizations. We share dining halls. But then at the same time, you have your home base and distinctions academically and community-wise within each of the 5 colleges. And that certainly rings true for Pitzer being a very social justice-driven institution, while at the same time, you have that flexibility across the 5. So I know I'm giving a long-winded answer to kind of a little bit of the history of the Claremont Consortium. But I think when it comes to that kind of what separates Pitzer from them is that social justice-driven core value aspect. We have 5 core values. They are social responsibility, interdisciplinary learning, intercultural understanding, student engagement, and environmental sustainability. So students align with those values and that comes across. But then at the same time, they're not limited to just PITSER. So we have about 1,100 students at PITSER specifically, and then there's 6,000 students across the Claremont Consortium. So I like to also joke and say it's a buy one, get four free of your college experience. So you get the small class sizes, you get that relationship building with professors, you get the benefits and resources of five colleges combined, while at the same time, smaller class sizes, that relationships. So it is everything that a student that's looking for that liberal arts education will get, but then the resources of five schools combined.
Well, as you said, it's a consortium of 6,000 students spread out amongst five schools. I loved how you talked about a very important piece, which is location. Southern California is definitely a great place to be. PITSER being the youngest of the five institutions. And it focuses a lot of things in terms of from when it was founded in the 60s. You talked about the civil rights movement, the social justice component. So how else would you describe the student life and community at PITSER College? And what type of student thrives in this environment?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot. And I think when I think of like adjectives that describe a PITSER student, the two that come to mind the most, and I think even talking with PITSER students, they would absolutely agree, is that PITSER students are very collaborative and very driven, but not competitive. And I think that is the great distinction that I really appreciate, is that it's, I think that was honestly the culture shock, the biggest for me coming from New England, is how friendly everyone was. And I can say that because I'm from Massachusetts. Winters, they really get to you. But I think when it comes to friendly and collaborative nature, it is the ethos of PITSER. It's in, when I first started, I had a random student just say, "Hey, how's your day going?" And I'm like, "I don't know this student. Who is this person?" But that is the actual friendly nature. But at the same time, PITSER students do a lot. I'm very impressed by how involved they are inside and outside of the classroom. And that's something that I'll certainly talk about when we're evaluating students in the application process. But we look for students that align with our core values. And knowing that student engagement, social responsibility, it really creates this community where students have the resources, but are never comparing students against one another. If anything, they're excited to include other students in that process, as well as professors and staff. So I think that core value alignment really allows students to find their passions and be as ambitious as they want to be. I think PITSER students make the most out of their 4 years during their time at, and want to. Sometimes I wonder when they sleep, they're that involved. But I think that friendly and ambitious nature is an interesting mix, because that collaboration is something that students really want. And that's not always something that they're able to find within their time in high school, where it is a very highly competitive environment for students. So I think that it's a breath of fresh air for many students, but also for those students that come from those environments to begin with, it really allows them to continue thriving within that environment.
Well, I appreciate you talking about the fact that PITSER students are in fact engaged and involved in so many things, both inside and outside of your classrooms. You talk about the fact that they are collaborative and driven, but not competitive, and how everyone is so friendly. And what I'll add is, they're quite happy, because I recently read that your retention rate, which represents the percentage of freshmen that come back for a second year, is at 93%, which is astonishing, as the national average is at approximately 70%. So congratulations on that great statistic. And so what resources and support system does PITSER offer to help first-year students transition smoothly from their high schools to college life?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we're very community driven. So this is an important aspect to allowing students to transition, because we know it's a challenge for students to go to college and be in part of a new environment. And it's the first time on their own for many students. So that transition can be very scary. So to the best of our ability, we want to make sure that students feel a part of our community as soon as possible. My favorite tradition that actually PITSER does is called Orientation Adventure. So every first-year student, as well as transfer student that comes in, is going to take advantage of, yes, you're going to have your traditional orientation where you're meeting with academic advisors, you're getting a sense of the resources on campus, you're meeting with your resident assistants and orientation leaders and mentorship, both at the staff level, faculty level, and then also at the student level. So I think that that alignment is really helpful to student engagement, which is that core value of one of our five. But then the orientation adventure allows students to welcome to campus, get a sense of the resources, now also welcome to California and get off campus. I think something that I hear PITSER students, and I think just college students in general within this Gen Z era, is not they don't want to be a part of a college bubble. They want all the growth and opportunities that a college can provide them, but they don't want to be stuck to that community. I think that's also something that is an aspect of PISR students. So the fact that we immediately within that first week is take advantage of one of the 20 or so trips in Southern California. So whether it's backpacking on the beach or hiking, I mean, there's a lot of outdoor activities. So students definitely align with that pretty great. But if you're not the most outdoorsy, don't worry. There's like food tours of downtown Los Angeles and other opportunities for students to engage. But I love that tradition because it's a way for students to sign up for a trip that they would never have the opportunity to do, gets them a lay of the land, both at PISR and in the area of Southern California, and you're with a smaller group of students as opposed to the full orientation aspect. So I think that I hear of students all the time that are lifelong friends with their students from their orientation adventure trip, and that is that first week. So I think that really helps set the tone for the community that we have. Also, I always like to plug, we have something called ReRoom, which I think relates to our sustainability aspect. So students at PISR before graduation and students move out for the semester allow donations for things within their residence halls, things that students might need. So for first year students, when they come into campus, they can be able to take advantage of that shower caddy that they might need or other materials that might be quote unquote thrown away at other campuses. So I think I think when it comes to just the transition and knowing how students can be prepared, whether it be sustainability, student engagement, the core values definitely align with how we want to make sure students feel comfortable within that smooth transition.
Well, we appreciate that. The overview, obviously, with a 93% retention rate, students are certainly very happy on your campus. So I want to talk a little bit about the academics offered at PISR, which of course is known for its interdisciplinary education. So how does the curriculum encourage students to engage in interdisciplinary studies? And what benefits does this bring to your students?
Certainly. So I think obviously, interdisciplinary learning is at a liberal arts college is the core of liberal arts education. And I think that absolutely rings true for a PISR student. And I think that emphasis is even higher for PISR students because that is one of our five core values. I think it really fosters critical thinking and collaboration. And for PISR as a community, it's really kind of focusing on learning for growth, both personally, professionally, academically, not just within the classroom setting, and bringing their experiences that they're involved in within the PISR community and within their aspects outside of it, and how that comes into play in that intersection. So I think it really helps our students truly find their passions and also not be pigeonholed to one particular passion or interest. For example, about a fourth of students double major. We're incredibly flexible when it comes to the academic environment as a PISR, as PISR students are able to take advantage of. We, within the college consortium, as I mentioned, students have access to all the courses and curriculum across all five campuses. I have never met a PISR student that only takes classes just at PISR because I would not take advantage of the almost 2,000 courses across the five campuses. Wow. So I think when it comes to allowing students to really have that flexibility, that's something that I really align. Like, interdisciplinary learning is something that students will find on liberal arts campuses, but at PISR, it's incredibly flexible for students. Another way that that comes into play is we don't have a quote-unquote core curriculum. We have something called breadth of knowledge requirements. This is more about competencies within a range of academic subject matter as opposed to taking a specific course, probably what students are experiencing right now in high school. So for anyone listening that doesn't like math, like myself, I was an art major. Math, not my forte. So if you're a student that was like, why did I have to take pre-calculus? I was forced for me to graduate in high school. And then you get to college, you're like, do I really want to take this Stats 101 class that I'm forced to have to take? At PISR, that Stats 101 core curriculum class would be a quantitative reasoning class. And that does not necessarily mean it has to be a math class. Yes, it could. If you love math, more power to you. Congratulations. Take that math class in college. But for students like myself, where maybe that's not the most exciting or what their major or interest, they could also take an economics course that has that analysis component or a sociology class that has that data analysis. So you can find that quantitative reasoning and subject matter in classes that students actually want to take and relate to their major. So it doesn't feel like students are ever bogged down by our requirements and they're able to take classes. So if you know what you want to major in, you're immediately thriving within those courses. If you don't know what you want to major in, which is our most popular major for first years, undecided. it's something that's very common in college admissions for students. So I think when it comes to that flexibility of if they don't know what they want to major in, they can have that flexibility and not feel like, oh, I have to get through these requirements to then find majors. I know a student that changed their major 6 times and still graduated on time. So that flexibility, I hope that stress does not have to happen for students or family members of that student. But I think when it comes to flexibility, that's key. I will also add that when it comes to interdisciplinary learning, a unique experience that I think students really love is we don't have academic departments at Pitzer. We have academic field groups. So even in our urban planning of design of our campus, we do not have academic buildings dedicated to one major. So that allows the fostering of interdisciplinary learning and intersectionality across our field groups of professors. So often they're co-teaching classes. One class last year that I know one of our tour guides that we took and really loved was U.S. campaigns and elections. It was a co-taught class of one of our professors in political studies, as well as a professor in Chicano studies. And they looked at how not only how elections and how that relates to political studies as an academic course, but also relating back to core values and how marginalized communities and identities within the discussions of elections relating to gender and race specifically due to the aspects of what the professors were teaching and passionate about. So I think it's an interesting way for students to, even within one particular major, they're going to have intersectionalities with other courses and curriculums. Additionally, for interdisciplinary learning, we also allow students to major off campus within the consortium for any major that we don't offer specifically. So that's not the case for every Claremont school. We are five different institutions, but we do share resources. And I think when it comes to the flexibility for Pitzer, knowing that you could be a psychology major at Pitzer and then also take advantage of international relations at Claremont McKenna or Russian at Pomona or work through taking classes and curriculum across Harvey Mudd or Scripps. So that allows students to have that flexibility. And then additionally, about 5% even create their own major. So even with all that flexibility, if you still want to find a particular one to create your major, focusing on that interdisciplinary learning, that's also a possibility for students.
Well, that's awesome that you emphasize the flexibility at Pitzer. Number one, because you're part of the five institution consortium, but also the interdisciplinary nature. It's so important because, first of all, it provides a great experience for students that might not be decided in terms of what they want to major in, but also it really sets you up for careers because most careers, you're not just doing one thing. There's a lot of overlap. So I could appreciate how you explain the flexibility and again, that interdisciplinary nature. And you have something for everyone, right, within those five institutions within the consortium, but I think you said it was 5% of the students actually create their own major, which I think is unique and so cool. Is that right? Was it around 5%, David?
Yep, around 5%.
That's awesome. So I know you covered a lot, but are there any other unique programs or opportunities that are specific to Pitzer that you want to share?
Sure. So something that's very popular for Pitzer students is studying abroad. Intercultural understanding, I mentioned, is one of our other core values. And we have seven direct-run study abroad programs through Pitzer. So those are incredibly popular. So whether it be our public health and pre-health student program in Costa Rica that students love to take advantage of, I think particularly if thinking of interdisciplinary sciences, that's a great program for students. Whether it's learning about architecture in Parma, Italy, or ecotourism in Nepal, I think students really love those particularly popular programs. And then also we have about 60 pre-approved programs, but our direct-run programs tend to be pretty special because they're taught with Pitzer professors, you're with a cohort of other Pitzer students. So that's a nice benefit that I think really aligns with that core value. Additionally, I love our Inside Out program. I think that is a very unique and incredibly popular. It's run through our Justice Education Initiative program, working with a prison in Norco, California. And it allows students in a really unique way to learn side by side with incarcerated students. And Pitzer actually provides college credit to those incarcerated students as well. And we've had graduates through Pitzer through that program, which is really exciting. We had just had our graduation about a week or so ago and had someone that had just gotten out of that rehab facilitation program a week prior and was able to get to that graduation. So it was really exciting for us. But I think, we're excited for that student though. But I think when it comes to the aspect of in the Inside Out program. So for students interested in psychology or criminology or sociology, it's such a unique, interesting way. And that's also not just limited Pitzer students. Students at the Claremont Consortium also take advantage of our Inside Out courses. To learn side by side with incarcerated students in particular topic matters that affect different populations is a really unique program that students enjoy. Certainly, I think also it can relate to research opportunities and internship opportunities that are unique, specific to Pitzer, the Claremont Consortium, or taking advantage of Los Angeles, which is roughly about an hour away. I think when it comes to not only flexibility of academics, I think the programs and opportunities of internships, research opportunities relating back to making sure that students are learning holistically in their college admission, college process, and not just specific to academics is really key for Pitzer students.
Well, David, you gave us a great overview of all the programs and opportunities that you have within Pitzer and, of course, a consortium on your campus and beyond. So I just want to switch the focus a little bit and talk a little bit about the application review process. So can you walk us through your application review process at Pitzer? And what are the key factors that your admissions team looks for in prospective students?
So for those listening, whether it's a student, a parent, a counselor, I'm sure the word holistic is something that they've heard of before. And if they haven't, they will hear it very often in the college search process. And I know that that sometimes can come across as an admissions buzzword for many families, and it was for me, coming from my low-income background, not knowing really anything about the college process when I was looking through that. And holistic really does mean looking at students within the context of their school. When I talk to students and parents, I always kind of get asked the question of, what's your average GPA? Or what's the test scores I need? Or what are the puzzle pieces that I need to be able to construct to allow my admission to be accepted for this? And in reality, the puzzle is going to be different in every single school. So you might have the same pieces in regards to your application, but what a school might be looking for could be different and how they evaluate it. For Pitzer, our holistic approach really is looking at the context of the academics within the availability of what is possible for their student within their high school. So whether that is a small school, a big school, a private school, a public school, are APs limited, are honors limited? Do they offer any at all? Are they an international student? So when I'm reading an application in Seattle versus Boston versus Vietnam, they're all going to look a little bit differently within the context of what is available within their school. So I think when it comes to how I describe the holistic approach, I kind of break it down as 50% of it really is the academic piece. So that high school transcript gives the most weight for us to look at the academic preparation for our students for a school like Pitzer. We don't have a set GPA because students have different GPAs in every school. If a weighted is offered, we'll take that into account, but we don't recalculate GPA like I know some schools do because we want to see what is available within the student's school. If a student does have higher rigor, we do see students and want to see students that take advantage of the higher level rigor for that preparation. Additionally, the other 50% of the application is really the qualitative aspects. So I think of the quantitative as the academic, the rigor, the grades, what the GPA is when available. And then the qualitative really is who you are and how you relate to Pitzer as a fit, but also what are you involved in. Extracurriculars are incredibly important to a school like Pitzer. As I mentioned, Pitzer students do a lot. So we want to see students that are engaged within their high school, whether that's clubs and organizations, sports, a part-time job, internship, research, family responsibilities, whatever that may be. I can say firsthand, as an example, we as an institution, I have seen valedictorians not get admitted to Pitzer because if they weren't involved outside of just academics, that is not the right type of fit for a student that would thrive within the Pitzer community. That student would be very successful at many schools. Clearly, they're academic rock stars. But if all they're involved in is academics, they're not going to thrive within the Pitzer community. So we like to see students that are engaged, and how does that engagement relate to those core values? And then that can be coming across in their personal essays as well as their supplemental essays. So we do require at least one supplemental essay at Pitzer. And we have two options that relate to our core values and another one that's kind of a why Pitzer. And it's really their opportunity to showcase their voice in relating to those core values. I want to read that supplemental essay, and I'll be honest, it's my favorite part of the application because it really allows us to get to know a student's personality, their passions, their interests, their quirks, and how does it relate to who they would be on a campus like Pitzer. Additionally, recommendations, as well as kind of the aspects for who they are within the context of the school can be important as well. Lastly, I will add that we are a test-free institution or test-blind, as some students might be aware of that terminology. When it comes to Pitzer, we do not look at testing whatsoever, even if you submit it to us. So I always get asked the question, what if I did really good on my SATs or ACT? Could I still submit it? I'd say, that's great, but we would just throw it in the trash because that is not an aspect for what we are looking for in the application process. We even don't even take that information. So if you self-report in the Common application, we don't get that information. If somehow we get it, we do not care about standardized testing. The reason for that, Well, I will say we were one of the first schools on the West Coast to switch to test optional back in the day. And then when the pandemic happened, just the challenges of standardized testing, also the challenge of students being able to even take the test. I was talking with students in Washington, where one of my territories, and having to drive 50 miles away to take a standardized test is not something I feel students should have to do. So as an institution that is very social justice driven, and knowing that ultimately socioeconomic status is a main barrier for how students come into their success for standardized testing. So that example, a student that doesn't have a car or the access to drive 50 miles to take standardized testing. We feel that students should not have to deal with those issues to be able to be a strong, successful candidate in the college application process. So when it comes to testing, we really will not take that into account. We are in a pilot phase right now, but we are just wrapping that up. But I am very confident that that will continue on in regards to our application process, knowing our social justice values.
Well, I appreciate you reviewing the holistic review. And frankly, you did it holistically, very methodically, every single part. That was awesome. You talked about the context of what the students had available to them in their high school and whether or not they took advantage. You mentioned the fact that you do not recalculate the GPA. And you're looking, in addition to the academic record, you're really looking for the engagement, right? What did students do, not only in the classroom, but outside of the classroom, which is going to help you determine the type of community member that they're going to be. So let's unpackage it a little further. I know you talked about the supplemental essays. I know you talked about the fact that, you know, in terms of testing, you are, in fact, test-free, which again means students that even if you did extremely well on your standardized exams, if you submit it, it will not be reviewed. But what I wanted to ask as a follow-up, again, to unpackage all of this a little bit further, what advice would you give students when writing their college application essays, specifically for PITZER? Again, you mentioned the supplemental, so maybe we could talk about the general essay and the supplemental in terms of what is it that you're looking for in each from your prospective students?
Of course. I'll also just add briefly that within the Claremont Consortium, we are the only school that is test-free. So I think this is another example of how we both work together and have separations between the consortium schools. So that is something I just want to appoint, because we know students might be interested in multiple Claremont schools, but ultimately we never know when students apply to them since we are in different institutions. So if you are interested in multiple schools, which we love our Claremont Consortium, I just want to point out for testing that is one difference between our application process.
That. Thank you.
But to your question in regards to the additionally for the application of what type of students we're looking for, when it comes to the personal essay and supplemental essays, that is really helpful for us in the fit of who we think could be successful. And I know that that is kind of it's a challenging determination for colleges as well as for students, because students are looking for communities that they want in a college, and colleges are looking for students that would be successful within that type of community. And what does success look like? I think academically, that is a little bit more easy to figure out in that quantitative aspects of rigor and grades, where qualitative aspects and trying to find things like grit and resilience are hard to quantify. So when we're evaluating applications, that balance of finding those core values throughout, even if it's just one, we want to see students that relate to at least one of those core values. So if it's a personal essay about their part-time job and how they grew as a person, how that relates to who they are and what they're relating to and their leadership skills. And then their supplemental essay is about their passion for environmental analysis and how they created an aquaponics lab in their high school and how that relates to their environmental sustainability. And so you can start to see how, what is a student's passion? And then how does it relate to us? Like, why are you applying to PITZER? And how does that showcase within your passions? And how does that relate to, I think, PITZER as a community? We are never looking for one type of student. And I think that is something that relates back to that puzzle piece aspect that students are looking for in the college process, is we also know that you're growing as a person. And there's only so much life experience a 17 or 18 year old can have when they're applying to college. So I know when it comes to the essays, I always got to ask like about topics, or is there any essays that any type of topics I should not write about? And I'll be honest, yeah, I've read a lot of torn ACL essays, but does that mean you should not write an essay about a torn ACL from the big game? No, if that was an incredible experience and talked about who you are and that growth, like, I mean, I don't want to imagine you breaking your tearing your ACL, but if I think this is the example. If all I learned from that essay is that a student tore their ACL, that is not helpful to us in the process. Right. If they pivot to then talking about their growth, and what the reflection piece of that is, that's what I'm looking for in the essay. So often when it comes to essays in the application process, I think students, and let's be honest, parents more so, get bogged down on the topic of what a student's writing about, as opposed to reflection, growth, that piece of what we're looking for, and how that might relate to us as admissions officers determining the success of a student. So it's less about the topic and what they're describing, and more so the reflection. That's always the emphasis I give for students.
Well, it's definitely less about the topic and more of what they are describing about themselves. And I appreciate how you talked about the torn ACL example, which has been a common theme because it is an essay topic that comes up a lot. And to your point, David, if all you learned in the essay is that the student tore their ACL, it really is a missed opportunity. So students, whatever your topic is, it's really important, as David explained, that you reflect and talk about your growth, your thought process, and anything else to give insight into who you are as a person, as opposed to that one fact that you tore your ACL. Now, in terms of the supplemental essay, I just want to ask, what are you looking for in the supplemental that's not available in the personal essay, the transcript, the activity sheet? I'm willing to bet that you're looking for students that could write about how they understand this great thing we call PITZER, why they see themselves there, how they plan to contribute, and so that essay becomes, you know, an additional part of the overall application where you're learning something new about the student. But am I right in terms of how I explained the supplemental?
Yes. And I will say that it's not always the case that we do actually learn something new about a student. Hmm. I think that is something I love to talk about in separating the personal essay from supplemental essays. Supplemental essays, I think when I talk to students, they get very stressed about it. That's a lot of additional essays they have to write in their senior year when they're taking their hardest rigorous classes. And it can be something that can feel overwhelming. But in reality, as I mentioned, that was my favorite part of the application and is often the favorite part for many college admissions officers across schools that even have a supplement. Because let's be real, some schools don't even offer that opportunity for students to describe why they could be a good fit for their school. And I've worked at institutions that don't have a supplement, and I kind of wish I had that aspect. So I think when it comes to PITZER specifically, I think for us, the supplement is incredibly important because it relates to our core values. So one of our questions in the options is, how would they engage with one of their core values within that time? It's purposely open-ended, but also purposely aligns with our fits. So it's their opportunity to tell us something new we wouldn't otherwise know, or expand upon something they might have referenced within their extracurriculars or essay. So when it comes to supplemental, I'm always giving the advice to students, tell us something new that we wouldn't otherwise know. Because supplements are probably the most, and personal essays, are the most within a student's control in their application process. I will also add, I know students, when it comes to the essays, they want to give it to their English teacher to review for grammar or have their friends look it over and see if they're voicing. And maybe parents are looking at it whether a student wants to or not. But ultimately, I want to hear a student's voice. I can very quickly tell whether it's been overanalyzed and overedited. So when a student is applying, if they're quirky and if they're funny, be funny. If they're more serious and more cerebral, like, I'm looking to get a sense of a student's personality and what they're passionate about. I am not looking for a sense of what their parents' passions are or what another school's passions are. Because we know you're applying to many schools and you might be focusing on that supplement, but it is very important to focus on a supplemental essay relating to that specific school. And if you, as a student, can't think of an answer to a why that school, maybe you shouldn't be applying to that school. And I think that's a hard way to think about it, but it's an important way. That is a way for you also to think about and reflect, like, do I want to attend this school? Is there a good fit? What am I passionate about on this campus? And then how can I showcase that passion to the best of my ability so that I, as an admissions officer reading it, am going to be excited by that student?
Well, I really appreciate that. And I'm going to repeat something that you said, that if you can't answer the question, why a specific school, students, maybe that's not the right school, right? And so, you know, David kept talking about the fact that the supplemental essay, it is his favorite part of the overall review process. So it emphasizes the importance, students, of taking your time with those supplementals when you're applying to schools that actually ask for it. And we know that not every school does. But I also want to point out that you talked about within that supplemental, it's important that you're seeing that the students are mentioning or talking about their fit in terms of how it relates to your core values. So again, I think it's important for students to understand that in the supplemental, you want to demonstrate your understanding of the institution, the core values. Perhaps there's a mission statement that you could, you know, connect to, so that the admissions rep, such as David, can see that you understand Pitzer. You could articulate why you want to be there, how you see yourself being there, and perhaps even how you're going to contribute. Anything else you want to add to that, David?
Sure. I will also add, this past year, we added a third optional supplemental. And I know someone's like, oh, another one. But this was really designed for the purpose of allowing students the opportunity to talk about anything that we think maybe they didn't have the opportunity to talk about in their application.
Sure.
That might be more specific. That doesn't relate to that supplemental or personal essay. I think sometimes students experience things that might be challenging that is important for us as admissions officers to know, or even just something like really specific to them and their experience in high school. So we added a completely optional. And when I mean completely optional, I mean optional. I think that's another thing when you hear
that was going to be my follow-up. Is it really optional? That was going to be the follow-up. I think you read
exactly
my mind.
And I know that could be different at schools. When they say optional, it depends, depending on the school. But for us, it really is. It's not a negative. Anything that relates to when we were test optional, we truly were test optional.
Right.
It was, if students are not negatively impacted by not doing an optional thing. And I think when it comes to that optional third essay, it relates to their background, identity, and personal interest, and how they would bring that to the Pitzer community. So it's another example of new information, if they want to include it, that we like to have in that process.
Oh, we appreciate that. And, you know, again, in terms of your application review process, what are the different ways to apply? And is there a benefit to applying one way over the other in terms of admissions or even financial considerations?
Yeah, good question. So, I mean, this was big in my consideration of applying early decision, early action, regular. That was very overwhelming to me as a 17-year-old, especially coming from a low-income background where financial aid was incredibly important to my college search process.
Sure, and for so many families. So many families are in that same boat.
Exactly. And I know, and I really feel for families right now with the ongoing challenges of FAFSA and how that has impacted students as well as colleges in regards to that. So we are also dealing with those challenges as well for students and families. But I think when it comes to Pitzer's process, so we are only on the Common application, and that is the process for all of our admissions rounds. We don't offer early action. So we only offer early decision where there is that binding contract for a student. If they're admitted, they are required to attend. But I know that required piece could be scary for families. I will say, ultimately, if a student does apply early decision and they are on financial aid and it ultimately does not work, which can happen rarely for one or two families, we're not going to force that student into coming to Pitzer if we know it's a financial not
right
for them.
Right.
So I think that I always like to say that when it comes to that binding contract, we will still work with families when it comes to financial assistance. And if ultimately we can't make it work with them, we'll have that process and conversation. But I will say, we make it work for many, many, many families because we do meet 100% of demonstrated need. So we are a need-to-wear institution, which means we do consider financial assistance when reviewing the process. How that comes to play in admission is a little bit later down the line. We want to make sure the students in the evaluation process, we're not considering financial assistance, whatever, when we're evaluating them. But it does come into play later to make sure that we are able to provide all the funding that we can for students that need it when it comes to demonstrated need. I know it's not a one-size-fits-all process when it comes to financial aid and that application process. For example, we require the CSS and the FAFSA when it comes to financial assistance, which ultimately I think helped us being a CSS school and the challenges of FAFSA. But I know that it's not always the case at every school that has the opportunity to have that process. And then there's the fun of merit scholarships and how that comes into play. And yes, we offer them, but I'm also very frank that it's very small in compared to most of our peer institutions because our emphasis as a social justice institution is much more on need-based aid than merit scholarships. So when it comes to that process, I know it's really overwhelming for when should I apply? What type of application? Deadlines. I think that is the important thing that I try to emphasize with students and parents is deadlines, because they're going to be different at every school. So you might think you might have submitted something for one school and it might not have gotten to that, and things in the process. So it's always just important to just pay attention and that students stay on top of when are things need to be submitted, whether it's financial aid, an application, a merit scholarship, whatever that might be. It's important to pay attention to students. But I will lastly add that when it comes to early decision, there is no greater way to showcase demonstrated interest than applying early decision for a school. So whether that is Pitzer or another institution, we know a student's top choice is that school when you're applying early decision. So it's a helpful process for us to know that demonstrated interest piece that is so strong. There is a little bit of a boost in our application process when we are looking for students because we know it is a student's top choice. But that doesn't mean that they get a complete, like, the amount of the enrolled class is completely through early decision. Not that I will name names for the schools. I will let students research that on their own. But I think when it comes to Pitzer as a process, relating back to making sure that regardless of the student's application process of early decision or regular, that financial aid is still 100% demonstrated need, that is our most important aspect when it comes to financial assistance for Pitzer.
Well, we appreciate that. And absolutely, the number one way to demonstrate your interest in a school is certainly applying early decision, which you mentioned is a binding contract. But you also said that if there is financial need that is not met, you know, and they can't afford it, even though they went with the early decision binding contract, that is one way when someone could come out of that.
Very rare process, but I always like to give that caveat when it comes to early decision.
No, I mean, we appreciate that, you know, because there are so many students and families, obviously, that, you know, looking at the financial need, it's something that relates to so many families. So looking ahead, what are some of the strategic goals or future plans for Pitzer, and how do you envision the college evolving in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, good question. I will also add, if I can include in the last
question. Please.
Interestingly enough, our yield for students that receive the most financial aid is the highest for Pitzer. Wow. So that's how I would like to say I know our financial aid is very strong because our students that need the assistance the most are getting really strong packages that are aligning them to attend a school like Pitzer. Mm-hmm. So looking ahead, we have our newest president, Strom Thacker, that actually started this past cycle. And interestingly enough, is a Pomona graduate. So still a Sage Hen, since we share athletics with Pomona. Still part of the Claremont Consortium family, but now he wears a lot more orange than blue. But that is certainly, I think, an exciting time for us as an institution because strategic goals and planning is very much a part of a new leadership that's able to bring fresh eyes while also past eyes as a consortium alumni. Our newest strategic initiative is called the Nucleus. It's a state-of-the-art facility in our brand new interest-based science center that we share in a partnership with Scripps College. And it's scheduled to open this fall, so we're very excited for that. The partnership really aims to kind of invigorate and expand and reimagine the science program that we've already had shared within the past, but really allow more opportunities for things like research, interest-based learning, and how that comes into play. So I think that also goes back to our example of, yes, we have a science building, but it's not like it's the biology building. It's catered for interrelated sciences. Additionally, I think when it comes to with that new building, we want to increase our population of STEM course offerings and add additional faculty. I know that our dean of faculty is in the process of including and adding more faculty within specialties on campus. We want to keep our classes as small. So if we're including more academic experiences, we want to make sure we have the faculty to keep that up with alignment of our class policies. Also, we have a brand new data science minor. So that is a nice addition to the academics that we offer. We have about 40 majors and minors at Pitzer. And as I mentioned, students can even grade them. So knowing that we have an interest-based science complex, knowing, for example, our most popular major is, interestingly enough, environmental analysis. So roughly about 30% of students at Pitzer major within the sciences and STEM fields. So it is interesting that we have that aspect of students that are interested in the STEM fields, though I think a lot of students that think of liberal arts don't always think of the sciences. So I think that it's important to bring back that we are a liberal arts and sciences college.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, you explained so many different things. The present and the future look so bright at Pitzer and, of course, the consortium of the Claremont Colleges. This has been a great conversation, David. Before we get to the last question, I want to give you the opportunity to answer if there's a question that I didn't ask that you wish I had, or if there's a topic that I simply didn't bring up that you'd like to share with us at this time.
I think the topic of what I would like to bring up and just trying to ease, I think, some of the stress that I think students and families. So I mentioned this is my 12th, going into my 12th cycle in college admissions. This was a very, if not the most challenging year within the field of higher education that I've experienced. I think in regards to the challenges of SCOTUS decisions and the FAFSA changes that have happened for students, as well as the rising protests that are happening across nationally for campuses. I think that is a lot of eyes are on higher education more so this year, and that has increased more stress. And that's not even talking about things like the enrollment cliff that is happening eventually for colleges. Not that we need to go deep dive into that too much, but in regards to how colleges are looking for students and how students are looking at colleges, I think has become a very challenging process for students. So when it comes to connecting with admissions offices, we are here to help you try to de-stress to the much of your ability. So when it comes to admission officers visiting schools, college fairs, emails, virtual opportunities, I think that's a huge benefit that every college has taken advantage of knowing that not every student has the opportunity to come to a college campus. So connecting virtually for students. So I think when it comes to really just, I just want to say, like, I know there's so much stress that students are going through. I think more so than ever into trying to envision their future at a college and what is the right college for me? And also what is the right financial fit for me? And that is a huge process with the rising cost of higher education. So I think by and large, I think that I know there's a lot of stressors on college admissions. And if there's any kind of advice that I could try to give specific to that, I always try to help students and families in that process. But I know that I will say that it's hard. It's a very hard process, but just try to work through it and know that ultimately it will work out in the end. You're going to have the best time in college. You will never regret it. Or you can be like me and never leave college and end up working in the field.
Absolutely. Well, those are great pieces of advice. And this has been a tremendous conversation. It does lead us to that last question where we're going to ask you to give us your top three pieces of advice for students and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process.
Of course. So my first one is my favorite piece of advice. It sounds simple, but it will be very helpful in the process for students, is create an email specific to your college applications. It sounds simple, but you'd be shocked at how many students utilize their high school email or a personal email and they lose emails or whatever that may be, or they lose that email when they graduate from that high school, and then all their orientation emails are going to a dead email. So when it comes to the process, it sounds simple, but I love giving this advice because then students, as well as families, have a central location for all of their college process. So if any colleges are emailing them, they know it's going to be within that inbox. If this college is reaching out, like, we're missing a material, could you please make sure you're sending our teacher recommendation? That doesn't get lost in the ethos of your high school email. You can see it within that college-specific email. So as a planner, as a logistics, as someone who really focuses on that, I always think it sounds simple, but it will help you in the end. Secondly, the advice I give is it really relates to, it's all about college fit in that process. And I try to tell students, try not to get too in the weeds about specifics early on in the process. So if you are listening to this and you are a first year or sophomore or junior in the college application process, or a parent of one that is a little bit earlier on, focus on the macro things. I think that early on, for example, like when my mom in the process was like, I want to know about the dorms. Was so quick to like ask about dorms, all the process. Like in reality, a dorm or a residence hall is going to be very similar at a lot of colleges. So what specific that I need? Like, is it in a city? Is it in what are the opportunities of the majors? Like, think of the macro level things that are important to you as a student. Do you want to be in a small, a medium, a large school? Do you want to be in a city? Do you want to be closer to home? Think of those things, and then get into the more specifics of the kind of deeper levels of a college fit later on in the college process. But I think it will help decrease some stress if you try not to get too in the weeds about very little niche things at each school early on and focus on the big things that students might be thinking. For example, I was talking to a student that a junior that is considering applying to 15 different schools. And I heard the list, it was wildly different and the fits are different. And that's okay, because that's what they're considering in that process. Where then when they get to their senior year, it might be, hopefully maybe not 15 applications, because that gives me our palpitations with how many applications schools students apply to. But that allows them to find the more specifics later on in that process and ask those questions that relate to what they're looking for within that process. So I know college fit is really about the advice. So my advice is really just start to think of like macro and micro as you're going through the college process. And then lastly is You will hear this term very often in the college process. It depends. That is something that every college admissions officer, I say on a weekly basis, because a question that you're going to ask an admissions officer is going to be different within each different school. For example, even within the Claremont Consortium, when I get asked a question, our process is going to be different than the other four schools, even though we share our resources. So my advice is get to know the counselor within that's reviewing your application, your territory, if you have questions about that school. I think that when it comes to students that are like, I just must reach out to every school, that I don't think is helpful either, because you want to be intentional about how you're learning about schools. And think of those questions. So if you hear it depends by an admissions officer at one school, ask that question at another school, because you're going to get a different answer for what that might look like and how they evaluate or look at that process. So for the parents and students, each college is going to have admission representatives, whether it's one, whether it's two, within different reading processes. CBE or community-based evaluation is a process that schools have. We don't do that at Pitzer. We read in a committee process. So multiple counselors will look at an application. But there's always one dedicated person based on your territory, where your high school is coming from, for you to get to know. So utilize those resources.
Well, those are amazing pieces of advice. I really appreciate it. Pitzer is obviously so lucky, David, to have you, as were we. I'm so happy, too, as I know that this conversation is going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate the process. Thank you so much, David. You were awesome.
Thanks so much, Don. Great conversation again.
My pleasure. And to everyone out there, good luck with the college search. Take care, all, and best wishes. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast, presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to PrepExpert.com to guarantee your child's success.